Please open your Bible to Psalm 61. Would you believe Psalm 62? Psalm 62. If you're over in the overflow room too, would you please stand and open your Bible? You're part of our fellowship and this is part of the worship. We'll have responsive reading. I'll read the odd and you'll all respond, Lord willing, in the name of Jesus in unison. All the even numbers. Keep in mind, this is a psalm from David. In this psalm of David, he cries out with a heart that although he's going through calamities, he uses that phrase, I shall not be moved. Meaning that he's steadfast. Nothing will change. And notice as we read, I'll read the odd and you respond in unison, the even. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain all of you like a leaning wall in a tottering fence. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. In God is my salvation, in my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Surely men of low degree are a vapor, men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Let's pray. Father, not only power belongs to You, but David said it rightly. Mercy also belongs to You. Father, as we come before You this afternoon, we thank You first of all for allowing us to congregate. We thank You for our country. We thank You, Father, for the liberty that we have to meet in You and to worship You in spirit and in freedom of truth. Father, we pray for each and every one of us. Yes, Father, we do pray for our own needs, our own desires, our own dilemmas, our own station in lives. But Father, right now we want to pray for the person in front of us, for the person behind us, to our left or to the right. Lord, we may not know what they're going through, but Lord, You do. Would You lift that person up, Father? May You strengthen and encourage that heart and that mind. We pray for their children and their home and their marriages. We pray for their well-being. We pray for good health. We pray, Father, for those that are sick, for those that are in the hospital, Father, and those that are seeking treatment as an outpatient status. We pray, my Father, that You may bless our children, protect our children as well as their children. We pray for the team in Japan. We pray that You continue, have Your hand upon them and bring them home safe and sound. We pray, Father, that You may just protect our men and women in uniform around the world. And we pray, our Father, that You just be with us now. As we study Your Word, we thank You, Lord. It is Your Word that transforms us. It is Your Word that encourages. It is Your Word, Father, that closes doors and opens doors. So, Father, have Your way upon each and every one of us. We thank You for Your generosity. We pray Your healing upon each and every one of us. We thank You, Father, as we have a God that cares for us. You're a merciful God. We lift to You those people. Again, Father, they're not doing very well. We pray, Father, for those that are grieving, for those, Father, who are going through some heavy-duty times, we pray that You uphold them now and be with them as we thank You, Father, for allowing us to gather here in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn around and say hi to one another. Beginning with verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6. We will study Ephesians 6 one more time and then we will end the book. And then we will go ahead and then jump to the next book, which is very interesting also, the book of Philippians, which is also a prison epistle. Now keep in mind that the book of Ephesians, the book of Philippians, They were written from Paul the Apostle while he's doing time. And he's in jail. And so it's very interesting that from jail he writes and he gives us this wonderful letter from Ephesians. This is the last part, part four of a series entitled Life is a Battlefield. The title of this particular study is called Our Orders from Our Commanding Officer. What is our orders from our commanding officer? In light and in view of what is taking place beginning in verse 10, Paul the Apostle says that we need to have a final exhortation. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. We're fighting and wrestling against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, because we're fighting a spiritual warfare, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? To withstand in the evil day. Notice the certainty. There is an evil day coming. And having done all that you could to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this very end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So the emphasis this morning is in verse 18. We already know that we have to be strengthened in God's might. It's not our strength, it is the inherent might of God. But God says to put on the whole armor of God. That tells you that the armor does not belong to you. That armor is designed, designated, appropriated, and with the manuals that belong to God. They're not yours. It's an armor that God gives to you. He's the designer of such armor. Why do we need that kind of armor? Because God says there's a spiritual war. There's a spiritual battle going on. It is an evil day that's going to be on the way. You notice the certainty. On the evil day that would come. An evil day will come upon each and every one of us, if not already. Not just one day, it'll be several days. For some, perhaps it'll be like a week of evil days. But there's going to come a time when there comes of evil. Now, what does evil mean? Evil means the absence of God. It is the absence of the presence of the divinity of God. And when evil takes place, I asked you last week, a rhetorical question that I knew the answer. I asked, do you believe in evil? And most of you nodded, yes. Do you believe there's evil people and there are evil people? You nodded, yes. And yet there is. There's evil. There's wickedness abounding in our communities. And there's so much evil that is presented with the diabolical background of what's going on. We are going through a spiritual battle. But Paul says that this battle is not physical. It's not flesh and blood where we can see the blows coming. We know the person that's hitting us, or we know the agency that's against us. We know the circumstances. It's a different dimension. It's a dimension of the unseen world, principle of darkness and evilness. We cannot see it. Therefore, our weapons of carnality, could it be strength or money or credentials or whatever you may have, these weapons are of no value. We need spiritual weapons. Paul the Apostle recorded that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. He says, for the weapons of the Christians are not carnal, but they're mighty in God, so that we can pull down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Bringing every thought into captivity. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What do you know about Jesus Christ? That He loved you. That He died for you. That He will never leave you alone. Anyone or anything that tells you that God doesn't love you. That God did not die for you. It exalts itself and it casts doubt. And that's what Satan wants to do. Paul says that he throws fiery darts, that he's a wicked person. Jesus spoke of him in John chapter 8. He says, he is a liar. He's a father of lies. Every time Satan speaks, he speaks a lie. He doesn't know the truth because there is no truth in him. Paul the apostle reminds us, he says, do not let the sun go down in your anger, for we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. What does that mean? It means that Satan knows how to become a good schemer. He devises things in your life where he creates an evil day and turns it into an evil day where you feel like you're left out, like you're all alone. His mission is to destroy your faith. Your faith. He wants to discourage you. You and I will go through an evil day. And you're going to go through an evil day. Pancho, I come to church to get excited. And you come and tell me about an evil day. My friends, I need to prepare you. There's a war going on. There's a battle for your minds and your hearts. And Satan is out there to destroy you. You believe in Jesus? Listen to what he said. He says, I am the good shepherd and I come to give you life and life abundant. But the thief, he has come only to destroy and to kill and to maim. And that's what he wants to do. Well, I don't believe in the devil. And then you know what? Continue with your philosophy. There is a devil. There is a purpose. Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says that Satan tempted the Lord in the wilderness. He is called Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. He is the constant enemy of God. He's the enemy of Christ. He is the enemy of the divine kingdom. And he's your enemy if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And he's the enemy of all truth. There's nothing but falsehood, malice, and he's always seducing in every evil way and every possible way to destroy, to disrupt, to discourage your walk in Jesus Christ. That's his number one weapon, discouragement. And he wants to reduce your faith. He wants to extract your faith from you so you will not have a heart. You see, when people stand up against an enormous enemy, when people become successful, when you ask them, how did you become successful? How did you put up with this? I was reading an account of several Marines that they were awarded the Silver Star and the Bronze Star for bravery in Fallujah around a year ago. They finally been awarded. And I was reading their citation, the bravery of these men. But see, it wasn't just bravery. They all humble. They said, you know, we were only doing our job. But they have faith. They had faith. They had the knowledge of their weaponry. They knew what they could do. They knew the enemy. They knew what the enemy would do. And they had all these substance of elements that backed it up. Same thing when you and I, when we stumble, when we go through a difficult time in our life. Pancho, are you saying that Christians can fall? I am telling you that Christians can fall. You and I have the propensity to fall. And don't you believe when people say, oh, Christians will never fall. That's a lie. Because David tells me, he says this, for a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Pancho, are you saying that righteous men, good men can fall? I am telling you that bad things happen to good people. You agree with me? And we may not understand why. Why, God? Why does bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people? My neighbor doesn't even worship you. My neighbor, they hate you. And they don't even go to church. They're always partying. They're always look like they have the new cars. They don't have any pangs. They don't have no death. They always seem happy. And they got the big screen, the plasma screen. Why? You read Psalm 73. The psalmist says, it wasn't until I went into the house of the Lord and God showed me their calamity. They may look like they're having fun on the outside, but there's death in the camp. They may look like they're very gay in the Webster's Dictionary. Gay, happy. But they're not gay. They're very sad. They may look like family, but the family is dysfunctional. They may look good on the outside, but liquor holds them together. Family, tradition, liquor holds them together. There is no substance. There's things in life we will never know. But Paul tells us, put on your guard. Be vigilant. These are the orders from our commanding officer. Everyone that goes into the service, they get what they call an MOS, a military occupational specialty. You got to go through school. That's your MOS. And pretty soon you have an acronym for your MOS, or you have a number. I would never forget mine. I'm an 1833. You may not know what 1833, for the exception of two people around here. But when we go in the Marine Corps, when I go in Marine Corps base, they're all heads. Oh, what's your MOS? 0311. Everyone knows what 0311 is. What's 0311? A what? A grunt. What's a grunt? Infantry. 0311. Those are the bad dudes. You don't mess with 0311s. These are the ones that are in the front line, 0311s. And everyone who's anybody else, they always say, I'm an 1833, but my secondary is 0311. We always want to do that. So we can get the glory. No, 0311s are 0311s. They're in the front. That's their MOS. They have specific orders. You and I have specific orders. We are told by God, when you encounter a Satan attack, a diabolical attack, you and I are not supposed to fight. Who told you to fight? God just said, stand. Just stand. Stand. That's resistance. And this is our orders today. Standing, praying, and watching. You remember that I keep quoting that scripture. Because you need to know that even Satan had to ask permission to mess with Peter. And Satan asked for Peter by name. I don't know, the dialogue is not recorded, but Jesus said in Luke 22, 31, He says, Simon, Simon, that's His Jewish name, indeed, for sure, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, says the Lord, I want you to go strengthen your brethren. Please isolate that scripture. What do you mean he wants to sift me? What does that mean, sifting? Sifting is a figurative speech. Sifting or sieve, S-I-E-V-E, is a device with meshes through finer particles of a mixture, such as ashes, sand, or flour, of various sizes, are passed to separate from the coarser ones. You ever heard that expression, I'm going through the ringer? You ever heard that expression? I'm going through the ringer. Where did that come from, and what does it mean? Well, for those of you who don't know, in the old, well, not old days, but like in the 40s and 50s, a washing machine, an electric washing machine. It had the agitator only. But it couldn't spin. So what you would have to do is drain the water, rinse it, and then drain that. And then you will get the articles of clothes, and you will put it between two rollers. And it was roll manually. And you press that piece of clothing. And then you adjust it where you put more pressure and you do it again. And pretty soon it's so going through the ringer that you're pressing the living daylight out of that. And thus, it came into the American terminology and the language of everyday people when they said, how you doing today? And they can explain it all by saying, I'm going through the ringer. What does that mean, I'm going through the ringer? It describes an episode in people's lives, in one's life that expresses pain, hardship, inconvenience, exertion, such as failed relationships, bankruptcy, illness, loss of a job, drug abuse, grief, financial hardship, loneliness, behavior mismanagement, and an overt sense of shame and guilt. Man, I'm going to the ringer. Satan wants to take advantage of your demise. Satan can take something that is very common to all of us, an illness, a disease, a car accident. It's very normal. God loves you. But God does not exempt us from pain in this world. How wonderful that would be if you come to Jesus Christ and you have no more problems. You have no more problems with the mortgage, no more problems with HMO. You have no sickness. You have nothing but laughter every single day. Every time you get up, it's joyful. You have no bad news. You get paid on time. It's so wonderful. Your AC works. You got your VCR. No longer a VCR. Now you got your DV player and it works. You got your plasma TV. You got your AC on. You got your four-wheel runner, whatever it's called. You got everything. How wonderful that would be. But I will be describing a life that is not real. You know that. I know that. In this world, you're going to have an evil day. Oh, Pancho, I came to church to hear something else, man. Come on, can't you just pump me up? When you go in the military, you don't say, pump me up. They took you out of an environment. What was your profession before you came in? Well, I'm a bulldozer operator, but I ain't gonna help. Here's your M16. This is the way it operates. This is the kind of ammunition you're gonna be wearing. Just in case we have a machine gunner, we want you to know how the machine gun works. Just in case you may have to fire it. And here's another weapon that you may have to fire it. Here's another weapon. This is an anti-tank weapon. This is how it operates. You're not going to do that, but you're going to learn it anyway. It goes, just in case, how kids are transformed. Kids from our own community here. Kids that when they were here, the little snots. They're just, my heart goes out to them. They're 18 years old, have a 20-inch waist. And they're so full of life and so much zest. And they're going into the Navy, they're going into the Coast Guard, they're going into the Army, Air Force, and they're leaving. And when they come back, if you've seen that change, they're more mature, they're built up, they look at life differently. And when they do their time, they come back and they're changed. Gilbert would just tell me about his son. He says, Gabriel's coming home. I said, so he did 3 years? He goes, Pancho, he did 6 years. 6 years? Yes. And he's coming back after 6 years in the Air Force. And I'm thinking, man, how time just flies. But he had an experience. When he comes back out, he'll have an experience that no other person will ever experience unless they go in the military. He will know what loyalty is. He will know what commitment is. He'll know what patriotism is. He will defend his country because he knows what it is. He knows that the enemy is after us. People don't like Americans, you know that. That's why we pray for my kids in Japan. My kids. I pray that no evil will come upon them because they're Americans. They're guilt, they're Americans. And there are people who don't like Americans for what we represent. If they hated so much America, why all over the world people stand in line to come to this country? If you hate America, stay away from America. Hate America, but I'm going to stand in line in the immigration place. How tragedy. God bless America. But we are told to have a position, a posture of standing, praying and watching. You notice what he says in verse 18. Praying what? Always. With all prayer and supplication. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. So we have here the commandment of God. We have given an order. Commandment is an order. Paul says, stand. What is the opposite of standing? Falling to the ground. You see, my dog, this is where I learned the word capitulation. It's an English word I learned. Capitulation basically means surrendering, resignation, or withdrawal. My dog, his name was Tiger. He went on to dog heaven already. He had a very peculiar behavior that he will bark so viciously, so violently that there are times where he will actually like vomit. He was so enraged, he will bark. And by the barking, if you have a dog, you can tell when there's an intruder, when there's the mailman, or when you have those religious cults coming on Saturday mornings to bother you. All the dogs get like in unison. Row, row, they're here. Row, row, they're here. Row. And so we lock our doors. Not me. I leave it open. You know, they just come to my house. They look at the and they pass past me. That's what they do. And so, but this time, you know, my dog was weird in that he will bark. But as soon as you will open the gate, chain link fence, as soon as you will open the gate open, he will stop. Very weird behavior. And he will look at you, or at least my wife, me, or the kids, like, close the door. Or close the gate. So as soon as we will close the gate, and he will hear the clink of the gate lock, clink, he He wants to And so we realized that he will only bark when the gate was closed. But one day he was barking so hard, so violently, that I was really concerned. There's someone out there. It's the barking of intrusion. You know, he's like... So finally went, and there was no one, and he was looking at something. So I went under, and sure enough, there was a cat just sitting under the warmth of the motor, right under it. And so my dog wanted to go after him. In a moment of moral lapse, I said, you want to get him? I want to get him. I apologize. I already asked God to forgive me. And I learned a valuable lesson about growth and maturity. So I opened the gate. My dog went after this cat. He was barking. And all of a sudden, within a foot and a half of coming to that cat went crazy on him. He hunched his back out, took out them paws, and my dog couldn't stop in time. And he went, whoa, whoa, whoa. And that cat just scratched him. With that, my dog went belly up. Didn't say a word. He was like plain dead. When a dog exposes their belly, you know what that means? It means they're surrendering. And I'm thinking, what a dumb dog. You're from East LA. What happened? And I'm thinking, what a dumb dog. This is not normal. You see, he met a match that he realized that although in his mind he thought, wait a minute, in nature, we're supposed to be bigger than you. Now let's revert back to that example. There are many men and women who act just like my dog. They think that it's okay, it's natural to feel pain, and we can beat everything. All we have to do is bark loud. All we have to do be courageous. But then you get too close to the problem and the situation, and you get all scratched up and all beat up. Paul the Apostle says, we're fighting an enemy. It's not a physical battle where you need muscular strength, or you have martial arts, or you have the hookup, you got money. It's not about that. He says you need to put on spiritual warfare, because you're going to go through some inner struggles of the soul where our allegiance to Christ is going to be tested. And like my dog, he realized, he capitulated. But other people compromise. Other people enter into vice or sexual immorality or moral regression, behavior deviance or cynicism and pessimism. You see, all of the above are destructive behaviors that don't happen overnight. By increments, every single day, as we're going through some kind of difficulty, we're going through some kind of evil day, in increments, you begin to begin in isolation. We begin to build walls and isolate and build psychological and emotional fences to keep people out as we wallow in self-pity, in resentment, in bitterness and unbelief. And what's behind the walls? Someone said, a languishing of loneliness and immaturity, spiritual and emotional poverty. And so it is. We look at the example of the confrontation between Satan and Jesus. Satan was a schemer. He knew the weaknesses of Jesus Christ. What is your weakness? People have weaknesses. We never show our weaknesses. We always show our strength. We don't want to show people our weaknesses. We don't want to show the ace card of emotion. But many of us have weaknesses. And those weaknesses, if you have a short temper, Satan will use that weakness. If you're cocky and arrogant and prideful, he will use that weakness in your marriage. You will never have the ability to say to your wife, to your husband, I am sorry, it's my fault, I was wrong. You'll never say that. Why? Go here. That's why. I'll never say that. And God uses that. That's why Paul says, do not let the sun go down in your what? In your anger. Lest Satan takes advantage of you. Never go to bed. If you're married, never be so stupid. Never humble yourself and say, honey, I'm sorry. It'll change you. It'll transform you. It'll transform you. Why would you want to sleep in the sofa? I have no idea. No idea. I've been married for 30 years now. It's a body heat. I can't sleep anything else. For me to be angry with my wife, no way. I'm coming at that age where we cannot be angry for a long time. If you're married, you're 20 years old, you can go for days. Go for it. You got the time. Not me. I don't have that much time. I want to have my wife as long as possible. I want to minister to her. I want her to minister to me as much as possible. Satan is a schemer. You like to steal? You have a lot of good principles, but you like to steal? He'll take advantage of that. You compromise your values? He'll mess with you. You see, the battle goes on. The Bible says, resist Satan, resist the devil, and he will what? Well, how is he gonna flee from you? Well, you see, when you have a purpose of heart, when you have a purpose of heart, when you have the truth, when you have faith in God, when you know the knowledge of God, when you have strong principles. See, strong principles, we don't need any laws. I know the law says that you will not steal, that you will not trespass private property. I don't need those laws. Why? Because God is a law to me. I have those principles. I don't need laws to tell me that I cannot do that. See, I have strong principles because of Christ. People, they have confidence in God. They have the promises of God. They have the assurance of God. They have the peace of God. They have the courage of God. They have the inner strength of God. And they have the comfort of God. And they have the joy of God. Well, you see, when you have all these abilities in your life, it gives you a purpose of heart. So when you go through a difficult time, Paul says, listen, put on your faith. Put on the righteousness. See, it's not the elements of the armor. It's what represents. It is the shield of faith. It is the helmet of salvation. It is the breastplate of righteousness. Prepare your feet with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, to put on our faith. So it's our faith, it's our salvation, it's also the assurance of God. Put all those things. But above all, he says, we want you to pray. Because prayer and also supplicating are two different elements. When you're standing, the opposite of on the ground, when you're standing, the Bible says here in verse 18, praying always. What does that mean, always? Always praying. There's a difference between praying and supplicating. Now, what is supplication? A constant entreating. You have a son on drugs? You have a marriage that's failing? You have a sickness, you have a disease every single day. Every single day. You cannot say, oh, Father, my son is messed up. Go help him in Jesus' name. And that's it. That's not a mother. A mother will pray for her son every single day of her life. That's supplication. Father, every single day. While you're going through this battle, you're not supposed to keep quiet. You're supposed to pray. You're supposed to communicate. And then it says that being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Perseverance, when you look it up in the Greek, there are two words. It means the ability to continue in spite of the burden over you. You keep walking. We don't capitulate. We don't just roll over and say, okay, you know what? I give up. You cannot do that. And that's what Satan would like to do. Paralyze you. Make you unproductive. Make you sterile. Make you angry. To be disillusioned. And that's what he wants to have you. He says, what we have to do, we are to stand. Stand. The word standing is a posture stance. Like me, I'm standing. All of you are sitting down. I'm standing. It's a posture stance. But in the Bible, it's not only a position, but it's an attitude. It's a perspective and an ability. For example, in position, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:1, my brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you receive and in which you stand positionally. When we pledged allegiance to the flag, we said, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic in which we stand. Posture. I'm an American. And therefore, as an American, I have a posture. I'm an American citizen. We're also Christian citizens. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. That's positionally. But also is an attitude. Galatians 5:1, Paul says, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Philippians 4:1, an attitude. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my beloved. See, that's also attitude. But here in chapter 6 of Ephesians, it's not positional, it's not attitude. It has to do with a posture of resistance. We are told here in Ephesians 6 that you may be able to stand, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. What are your orders from God? Let me ask you, is God asking us to go look for Satan? Yes or no? Is God asking us to fight Satan? No. See, He'll start the fight. He'll look for you. He's maybe waiting for you in your parked car after service. He's there all dressed up waiting for you. So what do you think? Huh? That guy doesn't know what he's talking about, huh? He's talking trash, huh? Well, he'll talk to East LA. I know, huh? No way, eh? He's going to mess with you. You say, I don't believe in that. You better start believing in it. There's diabolical advances. He'll get you discouraged. He'll get you bummed out. That's what he wants to do in your Christian life. Paul says, put on the full armor of God. Be might in the strength of God. Be, he says, standing and praying and watching. Resistance. What does that mean, resistance? To withstand, to fend off, or to stand firm against, to oppose actively, to refuse to cooperate with, the power or capacity to resist. And that's what God wants us to do. Resist. 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 You know, I used to love Bob Marley. Bob Marley, man, he's poetical. Stand up, get up. Don't give up the fight. Do-do-do-do-do. And you know, so he sings about standing up. But his concept of standing up and fighting, they're totally different concepts. He thinks that we have the ability to fight. And everywhere you read in the media and novels and every story and every relation, it says, you got to be strong. It is you. You got to have the willpower. You're going to have to get it on. God's not asking us to get it on. God is not asking us to fight. We cannot fight Satan. He says, put on the full armor. Being strong in my strength. Having all that, put on your faith. Put on the righteousness of God. Put on the gospel. Put on your faith. Put it on. And he says, and having done all, he says, stand. Just stand. Because the onslaught's coming. Resist the enemy. Tom Petty, he sings another song. Tom Petty, in his own weird way of singing, he has a song called I Won't Back Down. Again, very, very inspirational. But what are you talking, Mr. Petty? He says, well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around, and I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. I said, wow. But I ask, it gets you emotionally high, but whose strength? What strength? Who's pulling you down? And what's gonna keep you up? See, I like their old inspirational hymn. It goes like this. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. I'm anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like the tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In His love abiding, I shall not be moved. In Him confiding, I shall not be moved. To all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me. I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like the tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. The civil rights during the mid-60s, they took this song and they converted it into a civil rights theme song. I shall not be moved. We shall not be moved. But they took it out of context. Wonderful song, and I'm glad they had it. But it has to do with not being moved because your refuge is in God. We read from Psalm 62 together. My refuge is in God. My rock is Jesus Christ. My comfort, my tower, when I run into it, I hide. He is my strength. He is my shield. He is my buckler. He is my defense. He is my fortress. Listen, you say, Pastor, you really don't know what's going on. Listen, I know what's going on. I understand what David said. When David said in Psalm 16:8, he said, I have set the Lord always before me because He's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. You know, Wednesday night when we had our first fast and prayer night, it was that day in the morning when Millie developed a facial palsy. Half of her face still paralyzed. So we get concerned. That same night that we're going to start our fast. Now I ask you, do you think that's coincidental? I don't think so. I don't believe that God created this. I believe that it's part of life. Why Millie couldn't get palsy? Why couldn't you get palsy? You're not exempted from that. She lives in this world. She's not of this world. She got palsy and it was very severe. The next day, being Thursday, she went to her regular doctor and her doctor says, you have some kind of palsy. Perhaps it's Bell's palsy. Here you go. Some steroids, some prednisone, and you're going to get some other antibiotics. And you know, Lord willing. Now, he didn't say Lord willing. I hope you said Lord willing. He said, hopefully, with good luck, you know, it'll come off. Okay, fine. And that was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. She's going through that. Monday, she has a regular appointment with her neuro-oncologist at USC, Kenneth Norris Cancer Center. And the moment they walked, one doctor walked in and saw her, and he went and got the other doctor. They came back. They were serious. And he says, we have to hospitalize you right now. I go, why? We don't know. We believe it could be a very accelerated, advanced, aggressive relapse of your cancer. And we have to. And here we go. Here we go again. It is that ugly feeling in the depths of your in your heart. You go, oh, Lord, have mercy. And they walk away so they can leave us alone. You know those moments? We leave you alone. And there's Millie. Shaking. Shaking. Is she a Christian? Shaking. Frightful. Apprehensive. Me too. I'm shaking. Oh, Lord. Not now. Not again. But then we embrace and we said, Millie, don't worry. We got American Express. Millie, don't worry. We own three houses, which is not true. Which is not true. We own three houses. Millie, we got five cars in the driveway. I'm being facetious. What does it matter? No matter what you have, there's nothing you can do except put on the armor of God. I have faith in you. I have belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that my faith is being questioned. I will put on Jesus Christ. We will run to that fortress and that rock. We will hide ourselves under your wings and we begin to pray. And I told Millie, Millie, we've been here. We've been in this road before. God has never left us. God has never deserted us. I don't know what God is doing, but you and I are not going to ask God why. We're tired. We don't do that no more. We're mature. We don't ask the Lord, why? Why? How come you don't get those people that aren't even in fellowship with you? Why us? Why not you? Why not you? And so we didn't ask any questions. We prayed. We took a deep breath. God is in control in the name of Jesus. When the doctors came back, to see we were settled with that problem. Millie was saying, that's fine, doctor. That's fine. And we consign ourselves to the will of God. And so it was, okay, Millie, all right, I'll wait for you. I'll go through the whole thing, the whole admission. I called home. I said, we have a dinner date. because it was a Monday. It was my day off. That's when I take her to the hospital. It's my day off. We were supposed to have dinner with the entire family. And I said, the dinner's still on. Nothing's changed. Mama's not going to be home, but dinner's still on. Why? Because God wants me to stand. He does not want me to capitulate and say, oh God, now why? And become paralyzed. Oh no, I cannot afford to be paralyzed. I need to keep on going. I cannot give up. We've been too far to give up. We've seen too many things in the things of God, but we cannot just go back and say, I stop playing, I give up, I don't like what I'm doing. No, 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 no. Through thick and thin, God is with us. Well, Pancho, when is that going to stop? Do you really want to know? I tell you, they don't. They do not stop until that day when Paul said, like you and I say, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. Now I'm ready to go home. When that day, for no longer, we will have to be in these bodies of death anymore. We will enter eternity where there's no pain, no more death, no more sorrow, no more tears. Until then, God says, put on my armor. Things are going to get bad. Put on my armor. Don't fight. Don't go get them. They'll come to you. Just stand. And stand and resist. James says, submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. How are you going to resist him? The Word of God. I know that I know that I know. I may not know a lot of things. I don't know how to read the Bible very well, but I know one thing. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. Thank you, my Lord, for your wonderful assurance, for the trust that you have given us. Father, for the ability to withstand the onslaught of things that come against us in life. Prepare each and every one of us, Lord. Father, remind them, Lord, in this world, tribulations and difficulties and hardships will come. But Lord, you have prepared us. We are to put on your armor that belongs to you. We are to pray in all diligence. We are to supplicate with all diligence, and we are to stand and watch, lest we enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Father, may we keep awake, as Jesus said. Can't you keep awake for 1 hour with me? Father, help us to be vigilant and watchful. Father, may you go before your people and bless them. May you, Father, go before us and watch over us, Father, as we prepare for the evil times ahead of us. Remind us that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and you will love us to the end of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. If you have never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, whether you're in the overflow room or whether you're here as we sing this song, whoever you are, I cannot force you to come. I cannot make you. I cannot convince you. But the Bible says that when God speaks to the heart of man, Jesus said, my Father draws all people to myself. In other words, God touches you. And there has to be a response. And we give an invitation. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ, whether you're here or whether you're on the other side watching by way of the screen, I'm going to invite you to come up, whoever you are. Not an easy thing to do. Very hard. But you'll do it because you know it's time. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ today, you want to make friends with Him. You want to reconcile. You want God to forgive you of all your sin and shame. Do you want God to come into your heart and cleanse you from all filth, to give you salvation and to give you the gift of eternal life, that He may dispense to you the Holy Spirit so that you will not fight naked as you have been fighting all your life? Let Him give you the armor. If you're here, if you want to receive the Lord as we sing this song, whoever you are, just come to the front. And if you're watching by way of the overscreen next door, you go forward. It's going to look silly. You're going up to a screen. But it's not that. You're presenting yourself before God. So as we sing this song, you want to receive the Lord? You go forward. And you are here. You come forward. Stand right here. Whoever you are. You'll notice it is God calling you. It's not this bald-headed guy. It is God calling you. So whoever you are, if you want to receive the Lord, I will pray for you right now. But do make your way out here. We'll worship and sing.
Holy, you are still holy, even when the darkness surrounds my life. Sovereign, you are still sovereign, even when confusion has blinded my eyes. Lord, I don't deserve your kind of affection, for my unbelief has kept me from your touch. I want my life to be a reflection of your love.
Anybody else? Anybody else? I beg you by the mercies of Christ, if you're next door, go forward. Go towards the screen and I'll lead you in a word of prayer. You have more faith than here, man, because you don't see anybody. Go forward. You need Jesus, you come. You're afraid to come alone? Ask someone to come with you. They'll come with you. But do come. It's not easy coming up here. I wanted to let you know that. Very, very hard. Very, 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 very hard. No one can force you. See, the power of pride is very powerful. Your pride will send you to hell. Don't go out there. You're going to look like an idiot. That's not the voice of God. That's why Jesus said, you must humble yourself as a small child to believe in the kingdom of God. As long as you think you have too much pride and you have self-reliance, I cannot help you. Jesus said, I did not come to heal those that are what? Well. But I come to heal those that are sick. When you're sick, you know it. You go see the doctor. If you're sick today and you're sick of being sick and you're tired of being tired and you're without God, come forward. We'll wait, whoever you are. In the overflow room, go forward. Anybody else? Make your way. Don't get ripped off. Don't walk away from these places again. Go into your car mad dogging. There's no reason for it. Make peace with God. Give Him your heart. Give Him your life. Give Him your emptiness. Give Him your loneliness. Give Him your desperation. Give Him your despair. Give Him everything. He'll take it from you. And He'll give you peace. He'll forgive you of everything. He'll wash you new. But that's up to you. Anybody else, just make your way. Whoever you are, I believe there's more. We just want to make that opportunity. Anybody else? Anybody else? I don't know if anybody is out there in the overflow room, but if there are, would you please repeat this prayer after me? It's a very simple prayer. Very simple. Would you please repeat it after me? Dear Jesus, please forgive me. I repent of all my sin and shame. Come into my heart, Jesus. As my Lord and my Savior, fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me a new person with a new heart, with a new mind and a clean conscience, and put my name in the book of life forever and ever in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. God bless you. They want to give you a Bible if you don't have one. God bless you. Love you. God bless you. God bless you. Love you guys. God bless you, brother. Love you guys. They want to give you a Bible, okay? God bless you guys. Love you, man. Thank you, guys. God bless you. You're dismissed. The Lord be with you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Love you. God bless you.
0321, bro.
Yes, sir. Emperor Fire, brother. Go for it, brother. Yeah, bro. Sing mom's song. Who doesn't worship, man?